Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Sanders, being fabulous, it's what he does. He's putting in so much hard work this week that we have to give him all of next week off. And so we will, and it's well deserved. So he and I and Joe McGranahan and a bunch of other folks around here are going to be on vacation next week. But we'll have some great best of segments, and Allie Stevens is going to handle the news duties over in the newsroom. So you're going to still hear some great content here on WKOK. Back in the studio, movie Mike McGranahan. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning.
Appreciate you coming in. Let's see. The Boss Baby, specific episode, Family Business.
The Boss Baby Family Business apparently takes place decades after the original because the characters from the first movie are suddenly adults now. Alec Baldwin and James Marsden provide the voices of estranged brothers Ted and Tim. They're forced to team up when Tim's infant daughter announces that she's a secret agent from Baby Corp, the literal baby-making factory in the story's universe. An evil educator is running a school that's secretly designed to train babies and toddlers to rise up and take over the world, getting rid of parents in the process. Ted and Tim have to drink a special potion that turns them into infants so that they can infiltrate the school. The first Boss Baby was no masterpiece, but it had some very funny observational comedy about infant behavior. The sequel, on the other hand, is the cinematic equivalent of giving a two-year-old an energy drink. Seriously, this movie is so hyperactive that I felt exhausted when it was over. It bounces randomly from one thing to the next, never giving you time to digest any of it. In-your-face animation and the tendency of the actors to yell a lot of their dialogue just adds to the chaos. The Boss Baby Family Business is so jam-packed with loud mayhem that you don't watch the movie so much as get assaulted by it. Don't get me wrong, certain bits are funny, but the non-stop manic tone was so obnoxious that I stopped caring about the story and started wondering where I'd put the ibuprofen. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2 dirty diapers.
All right, well, I saw the trailer, and I get a flavor of what you're talking about. It did seem like kind of a mess, but at the same time, there were quite a few appealing things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they just harvest the appealing things instead of jamming everything in?
Well, that's what they should have done. I mean, this is a movie that really doesn't slow down for any story points or anything. It's, you know, cranked to 10 the entire time. And by the time you register one joke, the movie's already two or three jokes ahead of that. And that just doesn't work. You know, it goes so fast and there's just never any break from that relentless pace that the movie really is kind of hyperactive. I think younger kids who have no patience for plot points and things like that, or slower parts in movies, will like it, but adults are just going to feel worn out by it.
And the first Boss Baby, tell us how that ended up being received and being successful.
Yeah, it was a very big hit. It spawned a popular Netflix series, so this has kind of turned into a franchise for DreamWorks Animation. I actually thought the first one was okay. It was kind of funny. Some of the jokes related to babies and what they do were funny. You know, it was kind of a marginal recommendation for me, not a great film, but pleasant enough. And I was hoping for more of the same from this one, but it has very little of that kind of humor. It's just chase scenes and, you know, people walking into things or falling off of stuff and just nonstop mayhem. It wore me out.
Is there some film they're emulating, thinking, oh, this hyperactivity mode worked for this, so we'll try it?
It's almost like they're trying to take the Looney Tunes formula and crank it way up. You know, that kind of constant comic mayhem. But even the Looney Tunes knew when to take a breather for a second and let something sink in. You know, Wile E. Coyote runs off the cliff and he hangs there for a minute before he falls, so you can register the joke and register the fact that he realizes what's going to happen. This movie has none of that. It's just like bam, bam, bam the entire time. And that really undermines a lot of the things about the movie that are appealing.
Well, Looney Tunes is a fast pace, but it's one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have three sort of, you know, cacophonies happening all at the same time on the screen.
Exactly.
Okay, so you gave The Boss Baby Family Business
2 dirty diapers.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. You would have a memory of that better than I would. Okay, mini reviews. We mm-hmm. don't have too much time for these, but honestly, you have seen now the Fast Saga F9.
F9, yeah, even by this series' absurd standards, this movie goes way over the top. It completely jumps the shark. I don't want to give it away, although so many people have seen it by now, but there's a thing that happens with Tyrese Gibson's character and Ludacris's character that I'm pretty sure my eyes rolled all the way into the back of my head. This movie just goes way too far, even for this franchise. So some of the action scenes are fun, but ultimately I didn't care about the characters or the story, so 2 stars for F9.
You didn't like one of the previous episodes where the cars could drive out of airplanes and land on the road, so where's your suspension of disbelief?
I mean, that's okay, but they really go too far in this one. I have not been a big fan of the series outside of the first movie, and this one really kind of confirms that it's just a lot of mayhem, and the character and story elements are half-hearted, so I can't recommend this one. Although it doesn't matter, a lot of people are going to go and enjoy it.
Right, I enjoy them all. So we'll see this ASAP. Where is F9 showing?
That's in theaters.
In theaters,
as is The Boss Baby.
Okay.
Although The Boss Baby is also streaming on the Peacock streaming service. So if you have that, that's the one owned by NBC and Universal.
Oh.
So you can sign up for a free account there. It doesn't cost anything, and I believe The Boss Baby is included in the free account. I'm not sure, but if you have Peacock, you can watch it there too.
I'm ashamed to say, after a pandemic and lots of streaming watching, I've never heard of it. So
hasn't really caught on yet. Yeah, putting The Boss Baby there is one of their efforts to try to draw new subscribers.
Well, it's not going to work at my house based on the trailer or your recommendation.
Yeah.
So, okay, so F9, did you give it a...
2 stars.
2, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not your cup of tea in the first place, but even this one doesn't have all the elements that a good Fast and Furious film has. Summer of Soul. Please tell me that this is great.
This is my pick of the week. This is the movie that won the Best Documentary Award at Sundance this year. It was directed by Questlove from The Roots. He's also Jimmy Fallon's band leader. And it's a documentary about the 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival, which brought together some of the best acts in soul and R&B music. And the movie recounts how that festival came together and offers tons and tons of phenomenal performance footage from the likes of Stevie Wonder and B.B. King and Gladys Knight and the Pips, Sly and the Family Stone. This movie is just a celebration of great soul music from the 1960s. It's in theaters locally today, but if you have Hulu, you can also stream it at home. It's called Summer of Love, and then in parentheses, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised. That's the full title.
Oh,
but we
wow.
just call it Summer of Soul. But 3.5 stars for that one. I cannot imagine any music fan not falling completely in love with this movie.
All right. Well, we'll definitely add that for Hulu. We have that. So, and of course, we can go to theaters and do. So we'll think about that. The Tomorrow War.
Mm-hmm. This is a movie that was supposed to be Paramount's big film for Christmas 2020. They spent a reported $200 million on this, and then with COVID ended up selling it off to Amazon Prime. That seemed like a strange choice to me until I saw the film, and now it makes a lot more sense. This stars Chris Pratt, and the basic idea is that these people from the future come to present day and they say, we're under alien attack decades from now, we're losing, we need to recruit people from today to come to the future with us to fight, and he's one of the people that gets called forward. That's an interesting premise, but this movie is just like a Frankenstein's monster. It's cobbled together from pieces of Starship Troopers and Aliens and The Thing and World War Z and all of these other mostly better science fiction movies. So the whole time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, well, I've seen that before, I've seen that before, I've seen that before. So that is going to Amazon Prime today. 2 stars for that. If you have Amazon Prime, it's free, so I guess you're not losing anything, but I wouldn't go out of my way to see it.
And why is Amazon an appropriate place for it?
Well, Amazon's really trying to do the same thing. They're trying to drive subscribers to their Prime service. So they've been picking up some of these bigger movies. They had Coming to America earlier this year. So they're looking to have that kind of movie that will draw new subscribers.
James Franco pays more than $2 million to settle a sexual assault?
Yes, James Franco and his associated entities have agreed to pay over $2 million to resolve a lawsuit that alleged he pushed acting students into performing in increasingly explicit sex scenes on camera and also promised them roles in movies that never materialized. So this was sort of a big scandal for him and has really impacted his career in a negative sense. So he's trying to get out from around that now by settling these lawsuits.
All right. Well, yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, that's a tough situation. And speak of the devil, Bill Cosby is at home now. This is an entertainment story. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill Cosby essentially let out on a technicality. A previous DA had made an agreement not to prosecute him if he testified in a civil case. And, of course, course, that DA is no longer in the position. The new DA got him sent to jail, but the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania decided that that was not fair. So they let Cosby out, and I hope that this does not deter abuse victims from coming forward. You know, Bill Cosby has not been exonerated here. He's just been let out on a technicality. He still pled guilty to those things. He was still found guilty, and I hope that abuse victims won't take this as, you know, a fear to not come out and tell your stories or not go after the men who have abused you.
Right, right. Yeah, some of the headlines read, a guilty man released to home, Bill Cosby not innocent.
Right. He's definitely not. So.
All right. New movies coming out. What should we look forward at the theaters?
We got Boss Baby, Summer of Soul, and then there's also The Forever Purge, which is the latest film in that franchise. And in this one, a group of renegades decide that they don't want The Purge to be just one night a year. They want it to be all year round.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'm sad to say I've been watching The Purge movie, so I'll probably watch this one. All right. What will you review this week? You know where you're headed?
I've already seen Black Widow, which opens next week. So my review is going to be posted on my website, aisleseat.com, early next week. So you're going to want to stick around for Black Widow.
All right. Well, we're on vacation next week, so we won't get to see you. So enjoy the days off.
Okay.
But we'll do as most smart people do. We'll go to aisleseat.com and find out what's cooking.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic.